Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the best sports podcast in the world. Today, we are here for our second episode of the podcast. We are covering the U.S. Women's National Team, kind of a guide to the game. If you're just tuning in for the first time, or maybe you're an expert in the sport, we're going to try to make this wide range for everybody. So the game's at 11 o'clock. Early day drinking start. We have two special guests today. It's just me, the original tripod member of the group. But we do have our two first guests on the podcast. First is Mr. Ben Kirkpatrick. Ben, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Ben Kirkpatrick. I've been a soccer coach for 11 years now at the club level, 7 at the high school level, and have won state championship in Ohio there. Also, for the last 5 years, I've worked with the Kentucky Olympic Development Program as a state staff coach, helping develop players and getting them further along on the Olympic development path.
Very nice. Secondly, we added a late sub into the group. I wanted to have three people. I just think it works better. And covering the U.S. Women's National Team, I feel like we need a woman on the podcast. So we invited my wife, Melissa.
Yes. So I'm Melissa Sora Cody. I enjoy watching soccer, and as stated, I am a woman, so I have that part going for me. I did play soccer growing up, decided to stop after high school, coached a high school team for a couple years, but other than that, mostly just a fan now.
So we got two experts with us today and me about soccer. So let's start. The U.S. kind of blazed their way to the finals. It hasn't been always easy, but they've looked decent doing it, especially last game they came out on fire. I think the question coming in was Alyssa Nair, is she going to be the Hope Solo in the back that can really anchor this team and protect the back of the net? Ben, do you think she answered those questions in the last game?
Yeah, I think so. She really was a big question. And since the last World Cup in 2015, they've gone through several different goalies. Alyssa being one. Ashlyn Harris, Adrian French have all gotten chances. And I would say none of them had really solidified it completely going into the tournament. Nair was the number one. But it wasn't as much of a lockdown as, say, Hope Solo or Brianna Scurry before her. But in the England game, with her first half diving save and then the penalty kick save in the second half to steal the victory, that I think those really answered some big questions and kind of solidified her as that lockdown goalie we needed.
I agree with Ben. I think she has shown up in those big moments when they've needed her, but a testament to our team is that she hasn't been tested as much as some of the others in the past. So when she's needed to, she's shown up. But I don't know. I just feel like there hasn't been as much asked of her as some of the other goalkeepers in the past.
Yeah, looking at her, just from an outsider, I didn't know who she was before this World Cup. So for me, looking at her, she looks athletic. She looks like she has good instincts to the ball. The save where England almost tied it back up, where it was going away from her and she got her fingertips on it, was a beautiful save. Obviously, the penalty kick save was great. I think that was kind of more towards the taking of the penalty kick, but she still made the right read and stopped it. And I don't know, you guys played soccer. I think there's no better moment than a PK that gets stopped. That is just, even in my living room, I'm screaming.
Depends,
you know?
Depends on which side of the PK you're on.
Right, yeah. At that moment, you kind of knew, all right, U.S. got this. And they kind of fell apart for that, you know, that 10 minutes in between there. They took away a goal with VAR. And U.S. really could have been up 3-1. So I thought she did answer her questions. We'll see what she does in the finals. But I think you feel confident at this point. What do you think, Ben?
In their mind, mind, they knew Alyssa was the number one, but those two moments, that PK, you could feel them. You could feel the excitement and the joy that they had for her because it showed the rest of the world what they felt in her. So she's got to be feeling super confident going into this game. The team is feeling confident with her, with themselves going into this game. And that should be a frightening prospect for any fans of our opponent.
So that's a good segue to the next topic, I think. We have done a lot of things well. Melissa, is there something that you can point to that you think is something that we have done very well? So what have we done in your eyes better than anybody else in the world right now?
Oh, that is a tough question. I think what I was most impressed with last game, though, was actually the lineup that we saw with the midfield. Putting Lindsey Horan and Rose Lavelle in together, you get so much creativity and... it was just amazing. Watching Rose Lavelle create space and just take players on is incredible. I think, honestly, playing with the lineup and figuring out what works is something that we weren't seeing in the earlier games that we've seen the last couple. That's really been tremendous. We have a lot of depth on this team.
Yeah, we seemed a lot quicker, it seemed, in the last game than we did previously. And I think with Press in the lineup, her athleticism on the outside, I thought, was kind of the difference maker. She scored the early goal. Ben, what do you think we've been doing well?
Well, what we've been doing exceptionally well is getting an early goal.
Yeah, that's true.
It's such a difference maker. The longest we've gone to open a game without a goal is 12 minutes. And ironically, that was against Thailand, who then we beat 13-0. But 12 minutes, I mean... most teams, especially in big games, you have kind of a settling in period. You feel each other out. If you as a team can go in throughout that period and put the other team down a goal, it changes the entire complexity of a game, especially if you're the favorite, because now the other team can't sit back and defend and try to pick and choose their moments. Now they're forced to attack more. Now it oftentimes changes the game plan and you see teams, whether or not they can adapt. So those early goals have really set the tone for us and allowed to dictate how the game's being played. That is something they've done exceptionally well throughout the tournament.
So let's talk about the championship. I kind of, what you brought up is how teams play in games, and especially if you're the favorite, teams might try to, play possession or make sure that you don't get early chances. In championship games in general in soccer, how are they usually played? Teams come out timid, just to feel it out. We're trying to get the 1-0 lead. Is there a difference to a championship or a final game than a regular soccer game, Ben?
Well, I guess it depends on the coaching staff. Some teams like to go out and impose themselves. It's a give and take. Some will try to feel out the game and build themselves in, and others are going to go out and impose themselves. And I think the U.S., from their standpoint, they're going to hope to see them start out like they did against England. In the first 15 minutes, they're really pressing and forcing the issue. Saw some of the best play from Rose Lavelle in those opening 15 minutes. And I'd love to see that again from the U.S.
Now, Melissa, what do you expect the U.S. to do early on in this championship final? We've been aggressive so far. Do you see that as the same tactic as we've seen in previous games?
I do, but I think that's just who this team is. Like Ben said, the thing they've done exceptionally well is score early. So I think you are definitely going to see an early goal put in. I don't think there's going to be a timid factor on either side. I think both teams are going to come out hot, trying to set the pace of the game. And it's just a matter of being able to harness it in, rein it in, not lose control in those first minutes. But also, you have to be able to keep that going. So you see teams come out, they attack hard, they're so excited, but they play at a level they can't maintain. I don't think we're going to see that with this U.S. team.
Yeah, I don't see us losing this game, but I do think we're going to be very aggressive. I think we are going to get a couple goals early and kind of just put it away. I don't think this will be a dramatic final. It seems to be that this team has the leadership. They're not going to be rattled. They're not going to be scared. I think we should probably talk a little bit before we make predictions about the Netherlands. Most of our audience around the world probably hasn't seen the Netherlands play. I know I haven't. Ben, can you say anything about Netherlands, what they'll try to do to get the U.S. out of their funk?
It's going to be an interesting game because the Netherlands are, I believe, the reigning European champions. And, you know, they play a very possession-oriented style, which we struggle with at times. So they're going to look to take the ball out of our hands. They're going to look to keep the ball because that means that Rose LaBelle and Lindsay Horan and Tobin and Megan Rapinoe or Alex Morgan aren't going to be on the ball being dangerous. So they're really going to look to control through the midfield. And, you know, they have a couple dangerous outside players similar to what we have. So it's going to be a very like midfield-oriented game, possess the ball and get those players either in behind or in a 1v1 situation against Crystal Dunn and Kelly O'Hara.
So, kind of prediction time, I've kind of stayed in mind. Now, the head-to-head record I just pulled up, we played them in 2016, we won 3-1, and then the last meeting is in 2006, we won 2-0. So it's not really relevant information. I'm sure they've changed. Ben mentioned they are the European champion, so obviously they pose some threat. I've stated my opinion. I'll just state it again. I don't think it will be a dramatic final. I kind of see 2-0 early on in the first half. That second half, we might put in another goal. They might get one too. So I'm thinking 3-1, and we go back to back, right? No, back to back. Back to back. I think that does happen. Melissa, what do you think?
You stole my score. I was going to say 3-1 also, but I didn't really have much basis for it. But you know, that's how I bet and gamble. I just pick some numbers.
And if the FBI's listening, we don't bet. I mean, we're just talking metaphorically betting, not actual money and overseas accounts through online like Bovada or MyBookie or anything like that. So you see 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
You see us jumping out early.
Mm-hmm.
So early goals.
Early goals. Yeah. I think we see it 1-1 at some point.
Oh, okay. Ben, what do you see?
You know, I think we're actually going to see a 2-0 game for the U.S. I think we're going to see an early goal that's going to help set the tone for the game. And then I think, similar to what we've seen them do against the last three opponents, England, France, and Spain, is they're going to go into a control mode where they're picking. They're not as aggressive to the ball and kind of conserving energy, but keeping things compact. And we can really limit and frustrate the Netherlands, and then I think we get another one in the second half when the game starts to open up a little bit as Netherlands pushes forward to that goal they need. So I'm seeing 2-0.
Okay, so we all three have wins. I don't think that's surprising. U.S. is a pretty big favorite. So let's kind of go over the betting lines for people where gambling is legal. Right now, plus 500, so 5-1 for the Netherlands to win outright. U.S. is minus 250, minus 270 on some sites. So you're not going to win a lot of money there. If I were to bet, I always try to make a play that I can get money on, but that is kind of safe. Obviously, that's your goal in betting. What I really like here is, as all of us kind of hinted towards, we kind of see a U.S. lead at halftime. U.S. first half is minus 114, so that's pretty good investment. U.S., as Ben mentioned, has been getting that early goal every time. So we can go in 1-0. At halftime, you're going to win some money. So I think that's going to be the case for sure. Also, they have U.S. winning the first half and winning the second half, minus 104. I think you take both of those and take some safe money and save it for the next big play that you want to make. I don't know if you guys have seen any lines, but do you guys like anything, Ben, Melissa?
No.
Melissa's not a better. Either am I, but...
Yeah. Is it legal in Indiana now?
So, I just covered the lines that I like. Yeah, I did. They did open up in Indiana July 1st.
We're in Indiana, so it's legal. We can talk about this.
Yeah, so maybe we can talk about this. So, that's what I see. And any bet that I tell you on the podcast, I will make in real life. So, with my metaphorical money and my metaphorical websites. So, anything else you guys want to add? We're at the 20-minute mark. I think that's a good closing spot. The game's at 11 o'clock. Anything you guys want to add to the conclusion? All right.
I think Melissa touched on a key point that it'll be interesting to see what the lineup looks like. We've got a few injury concerns with Megan Rapinoe and Rose LaBelle that could throw off what we've seen. So that'll be something interesting to keep an eye on tomorrow morning as we get ready for the game.
Yeah, we didn't even mention Rapinoe being healthy or not, so that's pretty interesting. I think that just shows the depth to our team that if we have to put in a press again, I don't see any issue.
No, not at all.
All right, well, thank you very much for joining Ben and Melissa, and we should have another podcast coming up about NBA free agency tomorrow if we can get it worked out. Obviously, big news we got when we woke up this morning. So thanks for everybody for joining us, and we'll catch you again. Adios, amigas.